It's time for the gardening show.
I have a European beech tree.
I've got one too, and I dearly love it. So.
Oh, I love it too. I hug it once in a while. No, what the heck, you know?
Well, never hurts.
Got a question for your gardening expert, Dr. Dean Crosscoff? Call 800-859-0957. That's 800-859-0957.
I have a rose bush, and it is 52 years old.
Horticulturist Dr. Dean Crosscoff is your host on the program, filled with helpful information on lawn care, tree problems, gardens, crops, pests, everything and anything gardeners need to know.
I'm hoping that maybe I can get it moved without it dying.
Dean spent almost 30 years teaching horticulture at Michigan State University, and he served as the Integrated Crop Management Agent for Southeast Michigan's MSU Extension Service. The Gardening Show and your calls coming up next on News Talk 760 WJR. It's time for the Gardening Show.
I have a European beech.
Now, back to the Gardening Show with Dean Crosscoff.
Welcome back to 2015. It's amazing how fast the time goes when you're waiting to get out in the garden. So let's talk about things. We've got lots going on today, but that doesn't mean that we don't have time to answer your questions. So give me a call, 1-800-859-0957. Or if you look at my website on our flagship station's website, WGR.com, click into the on-air button up on the top left, and then down to Weekend Experts. I'm in there somewhere. Anyhow, on my webpage, you can email me. And Kirsten in Grosse Pointe, Al in Dearborn, and Nancy in Ann Arbor, I hope you're listening, because I'm going to talk to you, or at least try to answer your questions today. If you do email me, I apologize. I cannot email you back. I will get your question on the air just as soon as I possibly can. While you're looking in there, if you have a chance to look at that webpage, lots of good information. We update it every week. And this week, it's going to be just more of the same, and I'll be talking about that later. But one of the most important things that I like to do is highlight important gardening activities and opportunities. And that means I'd like to welcome Brooke Giver to our program. Brooke, welcome to the Gardening Show.
Hi, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Well, Brooke is the marketing committee chair, or person, head, I guess, whatever that is, for the Michigan State Hort Club. And, of course, one of the things that I always look forward to, it kind of I know I'm in spring, is when the Hort Club Spring Show is given, and that'll be next week, April 18th and April 19th, right?
Yes, Saturday, April 18th and Sunday the 19th.
Let's get this out of the way first, Brooke, before we talk about exactly what's going on. Give me the dates, of course, and then the times, and so people who aren't familiar with campus, maybe a little hint on how to get some directions, because things have changed since on campus. If you haven't been there in the last 3 or 4 years, things have changed a lot.
Yes, of course. So, like you said, Saturday, April 18th, we're opening, and we'll be open from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m., and we'll be back on Sunday from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., and we're located in the Plant and Soil Sciences Building on campus. So the building is on Bogue Street. It's right at the corner of Wilson and Bogue, and we're surrounded by three different parking lots, so it should be easy to find us. We'll have a lot of signage out. And you can park at either the Hort Department lot, which is off of Wilson. You can park at the Vet Med lot, which is off of Bogue Street. Or you could park at the Children's 4-H Garden, which is right on the south side of the Plant and Soil Science Building. And we do have a map on our website, and it clearly lists the parking lots and the entrances.
It does. And if you want to check that out, the URL is MSUHORTClub.com. But you can also look at WJR.com and my webpage, and I have a link to their website on there. So either way, and I love the comment on the website, is that one thing MSU is very good about is writing traffic tickets or parking tickets. So
yes.
Pay attention to where you can park and where you can't. Okay, we got all that out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
Brooke, tell me about the show this year.
All right, so this is the Hort Club's 27th annual Spring Show Plant Sale, and every Spring Show has a theme. This year's theme is the Storybook Gardens. So all of our designs for our garden show are inspired by stories like The Jungle Book and Charlie and the Chocolate Factory and The Wizard of Oz and The Secret Garden. and there's going to be children activities. And so there's really, for someone who's never been to Spring Show, there's really two aspects to it. So there's the garden show, and we transform the conservatory of the building into this storybook garden. And then there's the plant sale. So we will be selling all kinds of plants, sun plants, shade plants, annuals and perennials. We'll have flowers, trees, shrubs, hanging baskets. So we really do have a great selection this year.
Anything?
And it's really just a culmination of the Hort Club's semester's worth of hard work, long nights, and it's our way of reaching out to the community, really celebrating this field of science we love so much.
It is a great showpiece for your skills, and if you've never been there or you are there yearly like I try to be, these are the horticulturists that we're going to be dealing with in the next generation. And I give you credit, Brooke. You and your compatriots there are really good. This show is amazing.
Thank you.
Do you have a specific plant that you'd like to, you know, people might be really interested in, something new and different, or I know the quality is always superb.
Oh, we have a huge selection. We have a lot of trees. We have fruit shrubs. We have Gora, which is a beautiful, colorful plant. Begonias, geraniums.
You name it, you've got
it.
Yeah.
Hostas.
So if you have any interest, the plant sale is on Sunday, is that correct?
Yes, Saturday and Sunday.
Saturday and Sunday. So you have opportunities for both days. Now, you're raising funds, obviously, to support the Hort Club, but what do you do with this money?
Yeah, so all the money from Spring Show actually goes into different educational opportunities for our club. So whether that's a workshop or a educational tour, one really big event for us is called the Planet Student Career Days. And what it is it's essentially somewhat of a landscape Olympics. So there's 28 different categories of competitions. Those include landscape design, irrigation design and troubleshooting, plant identification, plant installation, and problem diagnosis. So 64 universities compete for that. And this year, Michigan State, I'm happy to say, got second place.
You know,
and
it's not
actually one of our members, Zach Van Dyke, placed first in the nation of horticulture students.
Fantastic. The MSU Gardening Hort Club Gardening Show coming up next week, April 18th and April 19th. And Brooke, congratulations to you and your crew. And I just think it's fantastic that MSU has three nationally ranked teams, football, basketball, and horticulture. How good can it get? Brooke,
yes,
thank you
green.
So much. Go green and go white. Stay tuned. The Gardening Show will be right back.
Now, back to The Gardening Show with Dean Krauskopf.
If you'd like to join our conversation, here's how. 1-800-859-0957. Let me give you that phone number again. It may be that you don't have it on your speed dial for this year. It's a new show, a new year. 1-800-859-0957. And, of course, I could also, if you look at WJR.com, our website on our flagship station, you can email me. And, again, Kirsten in Grosse Pointe, Alan Dearborn, and Nancy in Ann Arbor. Hopefully you're listening. Right now, though, let's go to Larry in St. Clair. Larry, welcome to the Gardening Show.
Hello.
Welcome. What's going on?
Well, my wife's got a problem with wild garlic.
Now, wait a minute. I got to ask. Your wife has the problem, but I'm talking to you. What's going on here?
Well, she's on the road right now.
Oh, sorry. In my household, if my wife has a problem, it usually is my problem, too. But that's another whole issue. So
that's kind of why I'm calling you. So.
Okay, I'm sorry. After we got all that out of the way, what did she want?
Okay, she's got it. It's all in clumps in her rock garden. It's in the
Ooh.
Shade. She's got a shade garden, and it's in parts of my backyard.
Now, you're saying it's wild garlic, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And the way you tell that, of course, is you pull it up. It is a member of the onion family, actually, so it smells like garlic.
Well, it does.
Yeah. Now, is the... wait a minute. When you say wild garlic, is this the there's two of them. There's, this is the one with the bulb on the end, right? Like a garlic.
Real tiny bulb and real thin,
yeah.
You know, like a green.
Right. And it's tough tough to get rid of. The grass is going to be easier than the rock garden. And the reason is, of course, in the rock garden and everything, it's you can't use some of the herbicides, the weed killers that you can in the grass. And this is going to make it difficult. Couple of things. About Wednesday, Larry, either you or your wife, would you mind checking my website? That's by that time, we'll have it updated. I'll have something on wild garlic there, just for people who may not be familiar with it, and some recommendations on how to control it in the lawn. Here's, though, basically what you're going to have to do in the rock garden. Is it the problem with this thing is that if you just pull it out, you always leave some of those little nut, they're called a nutlet, in there, and they just sprout back. So you can just keep pulling them, but it sort of spreads it more than it actually controls it. So typically, we got to go in with some kind of a herbicide. Now, is the in the rock garden, is are they intertwined or in among the other plants in the rock garden, or is it in separate areas that perhaps we could treat separately or by themselves?
No, it's spread throughout. She's got different kinds of, I think it's called chicks and peas.
Yeah, hens and chicks probably, the round.
Right, and then some other, she's got some other flowers that come out of it. Yeah, it's all in there. So
it's all there. Okay.
Yeah, they got to come out and just.
All right, here's what I would suggest you do. Now, if you can get at it and you don't, and she doesn't mind doing it, pull some as many of them out as you can. You know, that's always a useful thing. It depends if you can get at them and it's convenient for you to do. In the rock garden, in the lawn, it's probably a waste of time. Then when the little ones sprout back, are you familiar with glyphosate? It's the active ingredient in Roundup. Yeah, which is it's off patent now, and there's a whole bunch of brands out there that are available to you. Or if could she use that? Is she comfortable in using a herbicide like that?
Well, we use Roundup for that. Right. I can see where it's going. I got to tear the rock garden out.
Nope, not necessarily. You may have to, and I'm not guaranteeing it won't happen. This is the way I'm going with this. Instead of spraying it, what you can do is use the put the mix up the spray according to directions, and then either use a wick applicator or a sponge applicator, and you can buy those at your independent garden centers, and you got to change the concentration, follow the directions, and you just wipe it on. Mine, I've got a big long handle on mine. Some of them look like a dish mop type of thing, and you can just rub it on the plant that you want to apply the material to so the other plants don't get exposed. Now,
so
this
little green
shoots, as they come up, when they get above the other plants or where you can get at them, you just kind of go through there and rub the material on there. You can use put a chemical resistant glove on your hand, and then one of the cloth glove on the up over that, and then saturate the cloth glove with the chemical and just grab each time and pull it. This is in the rock garden area. I wouldn't do this in the turf. But anyhow, and try to keep burning it down is what's going to happen.
But it is Roundup, you said, right?
It is the active ingredient in Roundup. Now, there's a stronger material out there that you can do the same thing. It's called Triclopyr, Triclopyr. And it is a much stronger material, but it's also quite a bit more expensive.
Right.
And either way, I would try the Roundup first, mainly because it's cheap. And, you know.
Okay.
And try that on the rock garden. And you'll burn the top down, and they'll sprout back, and you just keep doing that until the fall. And here's the kicker. Larry, the time that you really need to do this is about middle of September through almost till November. Every time, and that's when the Roundup will go down into that nutlet and kill the nutlet. So during the summer, you're just kind of keeping it looking halfway decent. The active time or the time that you really want to get in there and do it is in the fall, September.
I did that with poison ivy in the fall, and it wiped it out.
It works beautifully during that time. This time of year, all the Roundup has moved up in the plant, and then it just kills the top, and the roots aren't affected. In the fall, it's the reverse, and that's where, like you said, poison ivy, perennial weeds, and things like this, and wild garlic are most susceptible, and that's why we use it that way.
Boy, that's really helpful.
Well, I'm not guaranteeing that you won't have to take that bit of the rock garden out. It's possible. But I think we can reduce the problem over a couple of years. It's going to take a couple of years because these cotton-picking things, some of them will stay dormant for a while, and they won't get in contact with the Roundup even in the fall. So you're going to can see it. It'll thin it out. It'll thin it out. Okay?
Yeah, great.
Good luck.
Thank you.
Hey, good luck with that. Wild garlic is a pain. 1-800-859-0957. And the nice person and the great voice that you'll be talking to is Iwenia. I can't do that today. Iwenia. There we go. Iwenia. No. We're still trying that. Irina. Thank you, Irina. I'll get it right. Albertson. She's a nice she's much nicer to talk to than I am. So give her a call. 1-800-859-0957. And she'll get you into line. We do have opportunities. By the way, the lines are open. So if you happen to have that question, and if you're a first-time caller, we're a friendly group, and we try to help. And if you're a first-time gardener, we've got lots of people who this is their first spring in gardening and for whatever. Give me a call. I love to talk to those people, too. So whatever, 1-800-859-0957. However, you can also email me, and Kirsten in Cross Point Farms, you did that, and she's got an interesting problem in that it may be more, Kirsten, a problem's relationship with your neighbor than actually controlling the plant. Kirsten's got some English ivy that's coming through her fence from the neighbor's yard, and it's just coming through and basically strangling the beds in her flower beds. She says she's tried many things, but they don't work. I'm frustrated and spend all summer fighting it and losing. And I'm with you. I understand exactly that feeling. So here's what you need to do, in my opinion, Kirsten. Talk to your neighbor. Because the problem isn't yours. It's your neighbor's issue. And anything you do to control it on your side is going to affect those plants over on their side, on the neighbor's side of the fence. And that can cause some really nasty things to happen, none of which we want to think about. So we need to talk to the neighbor. Then we're going to use a herbicide, and I'm going to talk about that a little bit later. Background music means I'm going to have to take a break. But anyhow, we're going to then talk a little bit about the timing. So, Kirsten, stay tuned. I'll be back. Alan Dearborn, I'll be back talking to you about your question. And Nancy, I'm getting to yours, too. And Linda and Milford and John and Temperance on the lines, stay tuned. The Gardening Show. We'll be right back.
Now, back to The Gardening Show with Dean Krauskopf.
And let me finish what I was talking about when we were talking about Kirsten's problem in Grosse Pointe Farms with the ivy coming through her fence. The reason I think you need, Kirsten, you need to talk to your neighbor is because if you kill the plants on your side with the way I'm going to tell you to do it, it's going to kill them on their side. So that might cause some issues. And if they object to that, that makes it more difficult. But let's try it this way. We're assuming that your neighbor's okay with what you're going to do. And, Kirsten, what I would suggest you do is use glyphosate, which is the active ingredient Roundup. It's under very many brand names out there right now. And instead of spraying it because the ivy is coming through into your other plants, you just wipe it on. You can use an applicator that you can get at garden centers. Independent garden centers carry them. Some of them have a long handle, like a golf club with a sponge on the end. Other ones have, it looks like a dish mop. And you just rub that on, follow the instructions very carefully. Or you can use a chemical-resistant glove. Again, make sure you go to your local independent garden center and get one that's chemically resistant. Put a cloth glove on the outside, put the glyphosate solution, make it up according to the spray directions, and on the cloth glove, and then just wipe the leaves. Glyphosate kills whatever it touches. So if the other plants don't get exposed to it, we're good to go. Now, in September, October, and November, you do this almost every 2 weeks because that's when the glyphosate will get translocated back into the roots of the plant behind on the other side of the fence. And this is where your neighbor is going to see some damage. And that's going to kill the problem. So if your neighbor isn't amenable to that, give me an email. Email me again, and I've got a couple other options, but that would be my suggestion. Hopefully it works. And Alan Dearborn with your American Elm Tree. Check my website, gardeningshow.com. Click into, not thegardeningshow.com, WJR.com, our flagship station. Look into, it says on the air. Down in the bottom of that, you'll find Weekend Experts, and then my webpage will be below that. And you have an elm tree that's got a split. I'm going to put a listing of certified arborists. People, you know, there's lots of good people working on trees out there. Certified arborists, you know that they have to keep up their training and go on the extra mile if they're on that list. So I will put that up on my website. Right now, though, let's go to the website, and let's see. We've got Linda in Milford, John in Temperance, Alan Grosse Pointe Woods, and Gloria in Southfield in that order. So let's go to Linda in Milford. Linda, welcome to the Gardening Show.
Thank you. I have two hibiscus bushes that grow really well, and their branches start flopping over because they're so heavy. And I was wondering where I could find something to help hold them up.
Now,
when they're full bloom.
Are they a really heavy bloom, or are they getting kind of sparse?
Oh, no, they're very heavy bloom.
Okay. How old are these? They've been there a long time?
Three or four, at the most 5 years.
Okay. Do you fertilize them a lot?
No.
Do you fertilize the grass around that area?
No, it's sort of a flower bed area that I just try to keep the weeds out.
Okay. Well, the reason I'm going after that is that if it was in a lower light area, that caused floppy growth. It doesn't cause the real upright growth. A lot of nitrogen fertilizer, like we use on grass, would cause the same thing. But if you're getting a lot of heavy blooms, probably that's not the issue. They're just doing too good a job. You know, there are lots of things out there. You can use a garden stake and just drive it in the ground and you tie around. There's some really decorative garden stakes and stuff out there. Check out your local independent garden center. It's the first place I'd go and see what they carry. There's lots of ways to do it.
I was looking for a stick that or a round thing that you put, like, I can't think of the name. Anyway, it's round and it's got a grid in it.
Yeah.
That's up a little bit higher. It's not real close to the ground.
There are, I've seen those. The ones I've seen are made out of coated metal. Usually they're painted green or enameled, so
right,
they don't show. Yeah.
But they're more than two circles.
Yeah.
Okay.
Not like a, you know, it's sort of like a tomato cage, except it's got cross pieces in it up the way. Yeah. Check your local garden center first. That would be my first choice. Then, of course, the Internet. You never know what you can find on there, but I'm sure somebody out there's got one. That look,
yeah,
that
sort
could
of
do.
Like look under cages?
I would, but I'd go to my local garden center first. I really would, because you never know. Somebody, they may have come up with something that's even better and work better for you. And besides, it's a fun time to be out there right now before we can actually get out and plant a whole lot. There should be all kinds of options for you.
Right. How do you keep weeds out of asparagus plants?
Oh, boy. Next fall, when you have the asparagus, after you cut the ferns and everything back, apply glyphosate over the top.
What is that, glyphosate?
Glyphosate. It's the active ingredient of Roundup. But you got to cut the ferns off, you know, in the fall when you're cleaning up.
Right.
Right. Cut the ferns out and then just spray everything over the top. That'll take care of it.
So I could just use Roundup?
Yeah, but not now, in the fall.
Oh, I understand.
Yeah, good stuff.
Okay. Oh, good. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. 1-800-859-0957. Let's go to John in Temperance. Alan Grosse Pointe and Gloria in Southfield, stay on the lines. I haven't forgotten you. John, welcome to the Gardening Show.
Oh, thank you, sir. Hey, I've got some property that I do not mow. It's got a lot of what I call scrub brush and tall trees. And this past winter, I had a lot of trees break, and it's a mess. But the one thing I want to get rid of are vines. I've got, they're huge.
What kind?
And I've got...
You know
I
what
don't
it is?
Know, but they're,
how big around are they? How big around are they?
They can get up to an inch. And what they do is they go over everything and they pull the trees down.
Have you ever been up there in about July and August?
The thing of it is, the place is full of poison ivy. I do not mow this area.
Okay. Well, you got an issue. And I think it's probably, it could be poison ivy. And do you know poison ivy vines when you see it? Because
yeah.
Well, they've got the little feeler thingies, hold fast on them all the way up and down. That's a different issue. I think it's wild grapevine. And there are lots of ways to get rid of that. But basically, with poison ivy, especially if you're allergic, it's a lot tougher. The time to kill it off is in the fall. If you spray now or anything like that, of course, you got the trees underneath there, and you don't want to get them, knock them back. But what you can do is any place where they you won't get the trees, you spray them, you got green leaves. It won't work just spraying on the trunks. What you do in the fall is you can do two things. You can either cut them off by hand and then put the glyphosate Roundup, active ingredient Roundup, on the cut stump. Or the other trick is to take an axe or a saw and cut like a V-shaped notch all the way around each stem and put the glyphosate, the active ingredient, in there. And then it's translocated into the into the roots. That you do in the fall, like in September, October.
Okay, I wanted to do that now, cut it off a couple feet from the ground and just try to...
Yeah, well, then put the active ingredient on the stem, but it won't kill the roots. It'll just keep shooting back. Because the only time that this stuff works to kill the roots is in the fall. Three applications, September, first week or second week in September, end of September, second week in October, end of October, and maybe even into November. That's the only time you'll kill the roots off. You'll kill the tops now, but it isn't going to be much better, actually, than just cutting them off with a saw, to be honest with you.
Yeah, that's what I was just thinking of.
Yeah. Now, the other material out there that probably might work better, although it's a lot more expensive, is this triclopyr, T-R-Y-C-L-O-P-Y-R.
T-R-Y-C-L-O-P-Y-R,
and that's the active ingredient, and you can find that's... one brand, and I'm drawing a blank, but you check your garden centers, they carry it. It's much more potent, but it's a lot more expensive, too. But it works. It's got more punch. In the fall. Now, you can spray it now and do that. It'll knock them back, and that's not a bad thing. But you got to keep in the fall is when you're really going to do your massive damage.
Yeah, and then I have the real small stuff, maybe quarter inch.
That spraying now might not be a bad idea. You try to starve them out, but they got to have green tissue on them. You got to spray the leaves. If you just spray those, the bare branches or the bare stems doesn't penetrate or not well.
As they wrap themselves around everything, I was just going to cut them there, put a two off the ground.
Then put it right on the cut edge. It'll burn it back, but it's persistent. It's going to take a couple of years.
Okay. But sounds like fall is the better way.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
I appreciate
good
it.
Good luck. Hey, patience is always a virtue. And this one's going to take you time. I'm sorry, John. I wish I had something to work quicker, but I don't.
Okay.
Thank you.
I've got enough information on how to attack this. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Let's go to Al in Grosse Pointe Woods. Al, what's going on? And I may have to hold you for a little bit because we're coming up to a break. But what's going on, Al?
Welcome back.
Thank you.
Here you come back this year. I have a section of about 10 arborvitaes. They range in eight in height from about 8 to 12 feet.
Okay.
Toward the end of last year, I started seeing some yellowing in the area, lower area of the planting.
Sure.
And I went to the Notional Nursery, and he suggested I might have some mites, and he gave me a spray to put on.
Okay.
First application, I saw some little mites, little flies flying away on me. But it just never seemed to go away.
Okay.
Now some of the other plantings are starting to do that.
Okay, so Al, hold on a second. Can you hold on? We'll be back. I apologize. The background music means I got to take a break. But Al, stay put. And Gloria, I'll get to you too. The Gartner Show will be right back.
Now, back to the Gartner Show with Dean Krauskopf.
And I'm back with Al from Grosse Pointe Woods. Al, I apologize for the break. Glad that you could hold on. And just to summarize what I thought I heard you say, that it's your arborvitaes, they're on the lower leaves, are yellowing at least in one spot. You went and took it to somewhere to see what it was. They suggested it was spider mites, which arborvitae mites, which is very common.
Concern is I didn't discover this until late August.
Sure.
I made a couple of applications of a spray that he recommended, and I don't know if it took care of it or not.
Okay.
My concern is how can I prevent a reoccurrence of that and protect the other arborvitaes that I have?
All right. Well, actually, the base thing to do is not anything right at the moment. Now, there are mites that attack arborvitae, but usually it's the common two-spotted spider mite that really causes problems. And they are starting out now. It's a little cold for them yet. They tend to be more active when it's warmer. But as the days get longer, they get more and more active. And usually you really start to see problems in late June, July, and August when it's hot. To get the population explosions, they have to have hot weather. So it's a little early yet. But what I would do is take a piece of typing paper and just go out and put the typing paper underneath a couple of the leaves that are not really brown, but just are in that area. Maybe you're starting to see what looks like and maybe some damage there. And just hit the branch the leaves with your hand really hard. Just hit it hard. And then look what shows up on the paper. You'll see all kinds of little pieces of something or other. But if anything starts to walk, to move, that's spider mite.
That's what I did last year.
Yeah, same thing. And you just do it until you start to see a fair number. One of the things is most of the materials that are suggested, and I'm sure in this case it was, are very effective. The problem with it is that the spider mite is maybe not the biggest problem that we're dealing with here. What you're probably dealing with is more that the spider mite is outgrowing the predator mites, the naturally occurring mites that feed on them. In other words, they're outgrowing their natural controls, and we can kind of shift that balance a little bit without killing them off too. And here's the trick. What you do is go out about once every 2 weeks, once it warms up. I think it's still way too early. And take a garden hose. And do you know what a fireman's nozzle is? The one that shoots a real bright, heavy stream.
Okay.
And if they're low down, you may put it on you can use a water breaker wand, too, so you don't have to bend over so much. The idea is that you need to get a forceful stream of water on the undersides of those leaves, on the undersides of the stems or of the limbs, okay? This will wash off the adult mites, which helps. Just water, but as high a pressure as you can get it. Mm-hmm. And just basically you're just physically blasting them off. And it also increases the humidity, and when that happens, in this case, the spider mite eggs actually break apart, so they don't hatch. But this doesn't harm the predator mites, so what you're trying to do is knock the spider mites down that are causing the problem until the predator mites can keep on top of them. And just keep doing that. Usually, I would start in June and just keep about every 2 weeks, going right through the end of the summer, and 9 times out of 10, you'll find that you won't see any damage. That's enough to do. Take care of the spider mites are controlled by the sprays or the water spray, and you don't have to spray any chemicals on them at all. Give it a try.
The holly tone will help?
Well, you know, it depends on when the last time you fertilized them, but sure, why not?
I haven't done anything this year yet.
Yeah, I would go ahead, but try that spray. It's amazingly effective. Also for pyracantha that defoliates, dwarf Alberta spruce that always gets mite problems. 9 times out of 10, and over the years that I've tried it, that spray is enough to control that issue. Interesting, isn't it? And if keep the material around that you've this chemical spray. If it doesn't work, you can still go in and do that, and that'll knock them back for sure. Okay?
Thank you very much, sir.
Good luck, Al. It works. Try it. Okay, let's go. All right, there we go. Gloria in Southfield, you've been very patient, and I appreciate that. How can I help you?
Okay. Hello.
Yes.
My mother planted I think it was a mock orange tree.
Yeah, nice.
She got it up north, a little stem, and kept on growing, and now it's really, really tall.
Okay.
And it's been dying for the last, 7 years.
Ouch.
It's gotten things on it, like it looks like mold or gray.
Right.
I had some guy come out when it had leaves at the top and he sprayed it, nothing happened. I don't know. It really means a lot to me.
I understand. It mean a lot to me too. All right, here's what I would suggest. Don't know exactly what you're dealing with, and I can't Gloria, there's no way that I'd even try to diagnose this over the air. There's just too many possibilities. You need to get somebody out there that's really an expert on this and try to have... They've got to look at it in the site and see what's going on. Couple of ways I would do this. One of the things, do you know any of your neighbors or anybody that has a really good tree and shrub company that they've been dealing with for a period of time? If you ask around and see if they find somebody that they've got a company that they've had for more than 1 year, and they've got people that know can do that, and ask them to take a look and see if they can evaluate it. The second way would do it is if you go to your independent garden center in Southfield, you've got a couple of good ones, and ask who they would recommend. Don't talk to the clerk. Talk to the boss, because they know who's out there, and see who comes in and who they've had good experiences with over the year. You need to get somebody in there. The third thing I would do, and this is sort of out of the line because this is probably, you know, it's on the edge of a tree or a shrub, check my website on our the WGR.com on air. Click the on air button and then down Weekend Experts button, and you'll find my website. And about Wednesday, I'll put a listing of how to get a certified arborist in your area. But I would try talking to your neighbors and the local garden centers, the independent guys, and see who they would recommend. You need somebody to walk your property. They really do. Now, they'll probably charge you for that, and it's worth it. But there's no way that I would even try to diagnose this, Gloria. And I know how much it means to you, because I have plants that go back, my family, to like that, too. And I would really want an expert to be right there beside me when they look at your plants.
They had a thing going on many years ago, probably maybe more than seven, and it said that all the kind of mock trees had died.
No. I don't know where that thought came about, but not to my knowledge, at least. But even if it is true, that doesn't mean that yours is the one is going to be one that's going to be there. Get somebody to look at it. Check with MSU Extension. They're in Oakland County. They may have some people that can come out, although they're really short on people. So that's what I would do, Gloria. So good luck with that. And, you know, if you can't find anyone, give me a call back in a week or two, okay? Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Coming up on the end of the show, and Nancy in Ann Arbor, I promised I would get to you, your email. And here's pin oak tree. One side has been causing problems for 6 years. The other side seems to be better, but it's just getting worse and worse and worse. Nancy, here's the key. It's that one-sided thing. Something on that side of the tree is causing a problem, and I think it's root-related. And there's a root barrier over there. Either there was construction, something cut the root, something like that, because that side is never developed. So you need to do some digging around. Look at the base of the tree, and it should flare out at the base all the way around. If that doesn't happen, especially on that side where you've got trouble, it's called a girdling root. Okay? And that means that you need to get a pro in there, because those can be cut. And it sometimes works, but most of the time it doesn't. Also, then, really you need to get you had a tree company come in and all they did was spray it. No, that's not adequate. Check my website on the gardening show, or WGR.com, and then you click into the gardening show part of that. And there's going to be a list of consulting arborists in there. There are some really good companies out there that have knowledgeable people. And just ask around your neighbors, but get a new company and check my website. So I hope that helps. The sightedness is the key to the diagnosis. If you've got questions, well, we're going for the week. Have a great week.